Okay, Romans chapter 1. Let's see. Verse, like I said, we started at 25. I'm just going to read 25, then we'll open up in prayer and get started. Romans 1, 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's open up here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we are prepared to spend in it. We pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive it, and not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We pray that these things may become clear to us as you would have them to be, that we may not only have a knowledge of your word, but a desire to do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We pray for those who are not here, for those who may want to be here, and for those saints who have no concern for your word at all. We just thank you again for this time. We pray that it's for our edification and for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 125. We were, again, the Romans is written to establish not just the Romans, because they're dead and gone at that time, but the material was recorded for the saints. Just like it was written to establish them, it could establish us. And when I say establish, that means to stabilize us, to equip us to do what God wants. And everybody wants to do what God wants, right? That's why we that's why we come and learn, because we're so anxious to do it. But as we go forward, you can see how they had an opportunity, that these people had an opportunity to know God and to do what God wanted, and you'll see that they refused it. Now, those were your parents, our parents. So you may be saying, well, that's them. But it was written to show you that the same thing that's in them is in us. Where you could be, you could have what God wants revealed to you. You can have the opportunity to do what God wants done, and still, with all that information, with all that opportunity, you still find it in you. Nobody else. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not because they wouldn't let you. It's not because they didn't tell you. It's because you decided that you don't want to do what God wants done. That's why God says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against you. I don't say you, but ungodly. All ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You say, what do you mean? When I say, hold that. He's got it, right? And I say, in that book, you get to do what I want done. All you have to do is read it and do it. Who is it up to? Yeah. How often do you think he'll read and do it? Oh. He should, shouldn't he? But the scripture said that he held it in what? Unrighteousness. So that means that he had it and did what?
Put it away.
Who said it? He put it away. Right. He never accessed it. He put it away. And he exchanged it. Oh, well, you know how it doesn't matter. He exchanged this for whatever it is he likes to read instead of this. Or should I say whatever you like to read or whatever you like to do instead of what God wants done. And he says that is unrighteousness and ungodliness. Verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Do you know that, I'm bringing it to today, I don't want it to be so far off, just like they had truth revealed to them, you have truth revealed to you. Do you know how? Do you know how do you know what form that truth is? What form that truth is in?
This word.
It's in the scriptures, right? You have it available. You know, there's people in other ages who would love to have access to this. There's a passage where God told the Jews, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard what I'm telling you, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. That means they would have really been sincere. How many know about Sodom and Gomorrah? Everybody knows. They were okay, right? They were ungodly. The scripture says the men of Sodom were ungodly and sinners. But the truth that they had, just like they rejected it, God said if they had the truth that the Jews had, they would have changed their mind. I'm saying that to say this. Is you have all of it now. What would be your excuse when you met God? What would be your excuse for not doing it? I didn't know. I never heard it. I never seen it. What would be your excuse? Let me pick with my younger people. You knew you were coming to Bible study, right? How old are you?
14.
Do you have a Bible? Do you? Whose fault is it that they came without one? I'm not mad at them, just picking with you. They're pretty much teenagers, right? Can't put it on the parents, really. Did your mother lay out your clothes this morning? Yours? See this, from the youngest to the oldest, God said the excuse, a guy told me excuses only satisfy people who make them. So when you get to God, he'll say, you are without what? Without excuse. What do you have to take to work? Stethoscope, maybe?
No, actually, I don't, but...
Some kind of, you have something that you have to take, right? Just say yes.
Yes.
Help me out of here.
Yeah, my bag. Don't take my bag. I go nowhere in the hospital.
Okay, now. If she knows, badge is my access. If she leaves without a badge, what can she say? When she gets there, where's your badge? You know me. I forget sometimes. You see me every day. Sorry. You know the rules every day. You have to go home and get the badge. But point is, when they knew God, they refused to retain him in their knowledge. They held the truth in unrighteousness. That's why God said that his punishment is just. I think there's a passage that says he does nothing without revealing it to the prophets, to his prophets first. Is God won't sneak up on you with his punishment. When I say sneak up on you, there's nobody that'll be at the judgment seat of Christ who won't know that what they've done is unrighteous. I was looking at a sports program this morning before getting ready, and there was a man who was running around the United States. He was trying to break the record. So in the daytime, you know, he's running, but at night, when the cameras were off, he would jump in the RV and he would ride and make up time so he could stay on pace with the record. So when it got daylight again, then he'd get out like he's running. And the people would say, hey, wait a minute.
That don't compute.
See, he had a watch on. And they accessed, he didn't think this. They could access his watch and see that his pace was
50 miles.
Yeah, they said, you know what, if you're running at this pace, he said you would have to be like Paul Bunyan. Like take the giant steps. And he didn't count on this. There was another runner out who wasn't in the race. And he saw this RV riding down the road slow. Nobody out. So he got behind it and he videotaped it. And he videotaped it for a while and then he finally passed it. There was nobody running in back of it, on the side of it, or in front of it. So that tells you what?
He was inside.
So this man he's just a runner. He's just out running. He had his headlight on. And then when he got up close to it, they slowed down and he got out. And then when he saw it was just a guy running, he jumped, got back in and kept going. Didn't know this guy. Didn't know it'd be evidence. You see, I'm saying all that to say this, is nothing is hid from God. Nothing that you do. Nothing that you think. See, you look pretty good to me. I look pretty good to you. But God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So when he calls you to the judgment seat and they judge him according to the deeds done in the body, you won't get over on him. You say, I really wanted to. But he'll say, really? You know, you can take your turn to right here. You know, if you skip to 16 minutes and 33 seconds, boom. That's you. And you're making that choice. If we can do that, don't you think God could do that? Get you right at the time when you made that choice to do what he did not want. Y'all had enough of that part, right? Okay. Romans 25. He says, now they changed, 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So those people of old took the truth of God that was given them, and they refused it, and they began to participate in idolatry. You know what idolatry is?
Idol worship.
That's good. She just gave me an answer. What is idolatry?
Idol worship.
What's an idol? What's an idol?
Somebody that's greater than you.
Something you place higher than anyone.
He says something that's greater than you, right? Something you place higher. Do you know that God placed you the highest? It's God, Christ, then you. If you get an idol above you, it better be what?
Christ.
Or, but they said, you know what? They made it like me and you, another man, or a bird, or an animal, or a creeping thing,
or a cow.
That's idolatry. Matter of fact, to my Catholic student, the number one commandment?
You shall worship no other gods besides me.
Worship no other gods besides who is me?
God.
So anything other than that is idolatry. And they said they did it. They worshiped and served the creature, the created thing, more than the Creator.
Anything you spend your time on, so not just cows or other person, but like money, your recreational things.
Right. Well, I mean, you think about this. Now, this is God. Here's you. Here's us. Now, he said, anything you put above me is what?
Idol.
Idolatry.
It could be your job. It could be another person.
Money.
It could be money.
Right. You say, well, I'm not putting it above him. How do you know you're putting something above God?
Giving more attention to it than you are him.
It's where you spend your money.
Your time.
Your time. That's the clock. Your money, your time.
False.
Yeah. Your thoughts. Well, she just said it. Mary Henderson said it. He said, this is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. If you don't do that, there's something else that's taking that spot. Now, that's a lot. God knows that we in ourselves can't do that. Because you don't have what it takes to do that. Because a long time ago, you lost something that Adam had opportunity to. That was he lost the image of God. You say, what did he lose in the garden? He lost every day. Guess who he do every day? That's all he had. He said, you lost that, and to prove that you lost it is because every day you have it. And don't raise your hand. Anybody didn't study at all last week? Don't raise your hand. Just in your mind. It means you never could you go a whole week without talking to him? Even if it was ugly, you still have to talk to him, right?
You put the ugly part in there.
That's easy, yeah. That's easy.
A whole week.
But when I say this, a whole week without communication. That's failure to communicate is just like neglect. See, you may not have hard feelings, but if there's no communication, that's just like neglect. Okay, so he says it was revealed when they knew him, they didn't glorify him as God, and neither did they like to retain him in their knowledge. So verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust toward one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. He says, if they didn't like to retain him in their knowledge, he returned the favor. He says, what do you want to do?
Do it.
And do it. That's there's a story about a man who had a dog, and he tied him on the porch all the time. And he'd see all the other dogs going by, but he couldn't get out and run with them. So he'd always be frustrated. And there's another man who had a dog. He wasn't chained up. He'd go all through the neighborhood, but every night came back home. And they would say, why do you have your dog chained up like that? He needs to get out and run and play with other dogs. He said, no, my dog's different. He's like, I can't have my dog out there with these stray dogs. And one day he said, you know what, I'm going to let my dog loose. And he let him loose, and guess what?
Come back.
He never came back. But here's a man who never changed his dog, let him do what he wanted to do, and guess what? He comes back every night. Why?
Because
he was free to do what he wanted to do. So, and he was loyal to his master, even though he was free to come and go. Keep that in mind. Now, here's a people. He says, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, there's a lot in that word. He gave them up to vile affections. And he says, even their women did leave the natural use, right? You know what vile is, and I had to look this, I knew what it meant, but I wanted to look it up again. We think of, when I say vile, what do you think of?
Disgusting.
Nasty.
Nasty.
Yes. It's dishonorable. But see, here's the thing, is this. That's our vocabulary, but it's not a lot of writing. Mm-hmm. That means it's not suitable to your position. You said, what do you mean? Suppose you were in the army and you had a dishonorable discharge. And they said, what did you do? What did he do? And they said, oh, he did something vile and disgusting.
He got out of order.
It doesn't have to be something that he did vile and disgusting. It was something that was not suitable or not proper or fit. It didn't fit his position or rank. In other words, he did something that was against protocol, against the rules, against the army law. And mankind did something against with their bodies that God wanted to use. They did something against that. That's why he says, even the women. When you go back to Genesis, the very purpose for the woman being was created was for what? For the man. And the very reason the man was created was for what? For God. So both of them were for who? And they said, well, we want to be for us. And for us, what it looks like, he says, they left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts. He says, verse, they did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. He says, that's what vile is. It's
immoral.
See, it could result in immoral. But, you know, let's use this term. It's about illegal, against the law of God. It's against the law of God. So he says, man with man, woman with woman. It should have been man and woman, right? I just did that instead of drawing two people. He said, this is what I want, not this. This is not what I want. Or he said, that's what I want. Man and woman, man plus woman. Not man and a woman and a woman. That's how God created it. He says, in the beginning, this is what I wanted for his purpose. He says, so he gave them up, and they began to do those things which he says, verse 28, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He says God gave them up too for to a what?
Reprobate mind.
To a reprobate mind to do those things which are not
convenient.
Is that right?
Close enough.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Johnny. To a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And I think what is probate?
It's tough. It's like it's a pro, it's a positive. Like an error, it's like a.
Reprobate, we get our word proof from. Or who said probate court?
Probation.
Yeah, probation. Why does a person go on probation?
Broke the law. To prove that they are worthy of their
worth. Yes, to prove their what? To prove their worth of their freedom. Or whatever it is they are trying to attain. And the reason why they're on probation is because before they did something illegal. Right? They did something illegal and they lost their position. So God says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. They go through a period to prove themselves worthy. And he says, no. So he goes back again and they put some, we call it, they said disapproved, a mind of disapproval. But if he's already darkened, and you turn him over to his mind, he proved himself unworthy, and he continues to prove himself unworthy. And the reason why we know that is because when he gets to the verses following, he says, he turned him over to, he says, you want to do what you want to do? In your own mind, you never want to do what God wants done. You say, yes, I do. No, you don't. And the minute you admit that, I'm guilty. I really don't want God in my life, in my business. I want to do what I want to do.
But you don't
want to
be in trouble either.
But I don't want to get in trouble either. But God said, you can't have it both ways. The wages of sin is still death. Now, here we go. One more thing about that. One more interesting thing for you Bible students is what does that look like? Somebody say it. What?
Sheep.
Thank you.
Somebody say it, please.
I was going to say guinea pig.
Fat cat.
Okay.
Fat dog.
You know, the word that's what the word for sheep is. It's probaton.
What?
And you know what it means in essence? To wander. Say this. Astray.
So is it like the opposite of probate?
Say it again.
Like the opposite of perfect.
Oh, not the opposite. It's consistent with it because this is when you have the tendency as a, he said, I'm the Lord will say, I'm not sent but to the
lost sheep.
The lost sheep doesn't mean that they were in one location, right? Mm-hmm. But they were lost in the sense where their mind was not where God wanted it because they weren't fulfilling the position that they were called to be in. So he likened them unto sheep who had gone astray, to those under probation. They're wandering away. So, yeah. I noticed, that's why, you know what, that's why when you're on probation, they call you, and you better what? You better be where they say you should be. To make sure, yes, prove yourself, to make sure you're not going back to where you used to go back to or doing what you used to do. You call in 3 times a day. And then when that period's over, they say, okay, you're free to do whatever you want to do now. But that's where you get the word from. I thought that would be interesting to you guys when you study it. Now, he said...
The definition of the probate involved, and it's probably the same definition if you got it wrong, but when you deal with in a real estate, so if something was left to someone, you were considered a probate, and I guess that is to prove yourself again.
That's it.
You wouldn't distribute.
Right. You just can't go in and my mother died and left me this house.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's make sure that there's nobody else out there who is really their house. So there's a period of proving the validation of your position as a homeowner or prepared to be a homeowner. You just can't say, that's my house. Oh, sure. Okay, there you go. No, we had to make sure that this claim is right. So, but he says he gave them up to do those things that are not convenient or suitable. Or fitting. Suitable or fitting for what? For, again, that's the only reason why he created man is for him. When you're reading, we skip a lot of things here only because of, I don't want to go too far off, but when you're reading, you should be thinking that's the only reason you're here. Man, I say man, is the only reason you're here on this earth. And when you're reading the scriptures, that's what the scripture writer is trying to get back to, is get you on the same page with God. And here you see where they got off the page, and he says in verse 26, he says, or 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Which are not, you know what? Get Proverbs. Proverbs 30, verse 8. And just read, I just want you to read. It was Proverbs 30, verse 8, if I'm right.
Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me.
Okay. Remove from me vanity
and lies.
He said, give me food.
Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me.
Food convenient for me. Now, the reason I was thinking about that is that is scripture is like your food.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you, it grows you up
spiritually.
Anything other than that, it does just the opposite.
Because you're feeding the flesh then.
And you're still feeding the flesh. And if you live after the flesh, you shall die. He said, but feed me food that's fit Paul would call it, he said, nourishing words. He says, those are words that are fit for me. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their mind, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, the convenient things are the things that build you up. We just said it. The things that nourish you in His Word. And why would you get the nourishment in His Word? Paul, he would call it sound words. That give you a sound mind. Or he called it sound. When I say sound, sound. Sound doctrine. All those things, or we did this before. Mm-hmm. Wholesome words. You've been to Whole Foods? Yeah? Why do you think they call it Whole Foods? Because they got holes in them? Like Swiss cheese holes? No. Wholesome.
Pure,
all right. They would say it's a difference, right? So apparently the whole foods have more nourishment than the unwhole foods. That's what it is, right? Or the
GMO.
Yes, right. Or the GMO foods, genetically modified. What is it? Genetically modified organisms. So he says he gave them up to do those things which are not convenient. 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. He's giving you a character description right now. He's giving you a character description. About that. Mm-hmm. He's giving you a characteristics.
The unimage.
What does that un mean?
Not.
Opposite.
Yeah. Opposite. That's what it means. So he says they are filled with all what? Unrighteousness. Okay, Maya. You suffix right there. Ness. What does that suffix mean? Kindness. Goodness. Forgetfulness. Huh?
More of.
Okay. That means you're possessing that quality or state. So when you see that N-E-S-S on the end of a word, that means that whatever that person is, whatever that word is, that person, they have a lot of it. What did you say? They got some of that in them. This means the suffix. put another one. That means they're what? They're full of it. Okay. We're just going through those, so I want you to see the words. Don't read by the words. So you got a prefix un, you have a suffix ness, and a suffix full. And the describing, it's describing something. Your characteristic, the characteristics of these people. All right, unrighteousness, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Whoa. That's a big one. That's a big one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Haters of God.
I got in my notes something
about, are there 23 of those
adjectives listed?
Count them.
And it's like
23
is the number of death.
He says, we're almost down to there. He says, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without disobedient to parents. No. Now, you know what? He's talking about what? He's talking about children. You mean children are unrighteous? They fall under that category too. That's you. Wow. Okay.
That's Lucas
2. That's Lucas 2. He said, disobedient parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. Implacable.
Unforgiving. That's what
I'm about. Unforgiving. That's can't be pacified. See, that's, you know what, when I was in school, their age, we did vocabulary words. I went to Detroit Public School.
Same here,
Jenny. I'm proud of
that. What you remember more? I don't know.
Yeah, you got a better memory or something.
Unmerciful. Now, Jenny said, you're right. There's 23 things there. And she's right again that 23 is the number for death in Scripture. You have to do, you know, when you're reading, is sometimes you have nothing to do. Just write those numbers down, you know. When you go through lists, and when you go through lists in scriptures, he's telling you something by this list. So they have unrighteousness, they have wickedness, deceitful, all these things they possess. That's not what God intended them to do. That looks nothing like people who worship and serve God, is it? And it proves that they lost it, because all you have to do is see what they possess or the state they're in and the amount of sin and iniquity that's in them. He says, now you, he said, the people that do these things, he said, they're worthy of death. One of those things in there, he says, they're without understanding. Without understanding. In the Gospels, the Lord was with his disciples in Mark. Mark, I want to say 7.
Let's see about this Detroit Public School memory. That's it. Mark 7. Mark 7. Verse 14. It'll start there. Mark 7, verse 14. Matter of fact, 13. He confronted them, and they did some things that made him say in verse 13 that they make the word of God of none effect through their tradition. That means the word of God of none effect means that it was what?
Not working.
Not working. Ineffectual, right? Not working. And we know that's not true, right? The only reason it doesn't work is because what?
You don't use it or apply it.
Don't read it.
You don't read it or you don't apply it? 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now the Lord is, he's setting the stage. He said, there's nothing you could take in that's going to defile you. It's what comes out is what defiles you. What comes out of your heart, right? He says this, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Y'all follow that? That's the PG version. The Lord said it goes in, but it comes out in the purging, in the bathroom. So nothing that comes in can defile the man, but that's coming out that defiles him. And he says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. There you go. There's another list. Somebody says, 14? Do we have another counter? But he says, are you, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but when God spoke to the disciples in parables, they asked him a question. They said, why do you speak to them in parables? A parable is he would give an example.
He
said it because he didn't want those others to understand it, because they were already against him. Mm-hmm. So he'd say something like this: well, the kingdom of God is like a man who went out to sow a seed, and the seed fell upon stony ground, a good ground. And then he'd get to them and he'd say, this is what I'm saying. So he was talking to them in parables because, like, you don't care anyway. So he wanted his disciples to have understanding This is what I'm really doing. This is what I'm really saying. So when he gets through, and this was a plain thing. He said, look, what goes in a man is not what defiles him. It's what comes out of a man. That's what defiles him. And they didn't know when he was speaking a parable or not. And they said, what about this parable? And he says, this is not a parable, man. This is the real thing. Is what goes out of a man is what defiles him. It's from what's on the inside is what defiles him.
Sin nature coming out.
Right. That's what's coming out is is the Adamic nature coming out of him. You don't have to, he doesn't have to take anything in. It's in him. But what he does take in, it only increases his ungodliness and all of him. His sinfulness and ungodliness and unrighteousness. It only increases with age. Am I right? They look good, don't they? When I say the younger, young, and older, they sound good. They say the things that's
the problem.
Yeah. Here's a big one. We love you. I love you. The Lord says, that I'm just saying this not to put us under that. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the Lord would say. Uh-oh. Let me show you a verse. Ephesians 6. This is just for believers. This is to believers. Ephesians 6, I believe it's verse 23. That don't sound right. 6. Ephesians 24. Yeah, 23:24. Oh, you gotta wait for me. I didn't get there. What does it say?
23 says, Ephesians 6:23 says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the love of Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. 24 says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in certainty, in sincerity. Amen.
Mm-mm. Love in what?
Peace be to the brethren with
with
faith.
The other part. Love with what?
Sincerity.
He said, peace be to the brethren, right?
No, that makes sense.
That's to the brethren, right?
Yes.
That tells you what? These people are already saved. Well, all saved people love the Lord, right? Sure they do. That's what we say. Don't we? All saved people love the Lord. He said, peace be unto the brethren. And then he goes to the next verse. He says, grace be on all of them that
love our Lord.
Ooh. Uh-oh. He didn't say, peace be on all them that are saved. I'll give you one more. 2 Timothy 4. It's interesting. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What? Not all of y'all. That's 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Somebody read that. I should have left it up there.
verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also, all them also that love his appearing.
Well, all saved people love his, want him to come, right? They love his appearing, right? I said all saved people love him and love his appearing, right?
On the surface, so not sincerely.
In theory.
Yeah, that's right. In theory.
Look, he wouldn't be writing it that way if all of us felt the same way.
Right.
All right. You want more? 2 Corinthians 8.
Second.
Yes. Make that 1 Corinthians. I believe that's it. Yes. 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3.
And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
Here he says, knowledge is not love. But if any man does love him, I don't say everybody, but everybody knows his love.
Like, as in, they know Paul, and they know...
How do you know I love football? How would you know I love football?
You know all about it.
I know all about it, right? But he said knowledge is not love. So how do you know, how would you know, not just knowledge, how would you know I love football?
How do you speak about it? How do you talk about it?
You spend your time.
Speak. Time.
So your actions are.
Now we get somewhere. Not just me talking about it, is it? My time is, I'm not just talking about it, my time is there, my action is there. My devotion is there. That's why he says, if any man love his appearing, he's waiting, isn't he? He's anxiously anticipating his return. Do you see her through the week?
School.
Don't you anxiously anticipate school time? Not because of school list. It had nothing to do with books. You know why? Because he loves her appearing. And she loves his appearance. They're not going to homeroom here. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say this, is when you see in Romans 1, you see what man lost with God, that relationship that defines being an image. And he said they lost it and they gave themselves up to a lot of unimage activities. And you know what's funny about those things? Is the same things that he lists in Romans 1 is the same things that he tells the believers not to do. You look at 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, 2 Timothy 3. He says, don't do these things. All right, real quickly, 1 Corinthians 6. We talked about the freedom, right? Remember the dogs with the freedom? Now, when you get saved, you're free. And we said last week, free, free, free. You're free. You're that free. God doesn't have a leash on you. He's letting you decide if you want to serve him or not. This is grace at its apex. Apex? Apex. Apex?
Detroit's got some awesome schools.
Pinnacle?
The highest point.
Highest point. This is grace at its highest point. Is you free to choose him? 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He gives you those 10 things right there. And such are some of you. And such
were
some of you. Now, you know the difference between are and were, right? What's the difference between are and were? Past and present. Are, were. You are here. You know these silver signs on the wall? You are here. You can see somebody running there. So-and-so was here, but he's gone. If you are here, like Mike said, that's present. You were here. That's past. And such were some of you. But now you are what? Leavened, washed, and ye are sanctified, and you are justified. Now, ED means ED, past tense, right? He says, you are sanctified, washed, justified. Skip down to verse, down to 20, 19. Yeah. He says, what? Right. Know ye not? That's a question mark too. What? Are you without understanding? That's the same thing the Lord would say. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in the church, in the building, in who is you?
The believer.
Yes. Who makes up the body of Christ? Who is us?
Members of the body. Believers.
See, that's why we keep doing it. Who is us? Somebody gonna get it. Who is us?
The saved.
Who is the saved? Who are the believers? Who is the righteous? I know somebody will get this. See, you reading it like it's somebody else.
Us.
Who's us?
Me.
Who's me? Say your name, say your name. It's what? Know you not that the Spirit of God dwelleth in me? You. See, when you go home, don't think you're leaving him in this place right here. Guess who you're going home with? Ye. Me. He says, and you are what? And you are not 19. Your own. For you are. Now, he says, what goes on? I'm going to show y'all. I'm going to try to show y'all that I know what I'm talking about sometimes. This is a bad temple. What goes on in the temple?
Prayer.
Worship, quote unquote.
Prayer. Worship.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Service.
Service.
Tithing.
And. you're being sarcastic right now. What goes on is, I'm trying to relate this back to the big picture. How's that sound? Image activity. That's this. All this. That's that. You're being transformed into the
image
of his son, right? He says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are
God's.
He gives you a list. He says, listen, don't do these things. That's who you used to be. Now you are not. You're sanctified, justified, washed. He says, now do something else in your body that you had the opportunity to do now. He says, why don't you worship and serve in truth in your body? Okay, we're going to stop there. Verse 7 is or chapter 2. We'll pick it up next time in chapter 2. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We pray that our time here was edifying for the saints and glorifying to your son. We just thank you again for these things that we've gone over, and strengthen us all according to our needs as we read and believe your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.